Thank you, choir, for that beautiful song. Very well done. This morning, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 9, 1 through 8. In this particular passage of Scripture, it talks about healing. It talks about forgiveness of sin. But to give you a kind of a forward or backward approach to where Jesus is coming from when he healed this paralytic man, healed him, where he's paralyzed. Jesus tested some disciples beginning in verse 18, where they, and one of them was a scribe, came to Jesus and said, "I'll follow you anywhere you go." And then another one came along and said, "Yes, Jesus, I'll do the same thing." And then he threw out a test to them, but they had excuses. "Well, I'll follow you, but I've got to do this first." And Jesus pretty well put them in the right place by saying, "Well, you either follow me now or don't follow me at all." And then he come down to verse 28, where he cast out demons, and many of the people that was there and witnessed that was not happy, and they wanted Jesus to leave that area. And that's where we come to chapter 9. That was in chapter 8 of the healing of the paralytic man who was paralyzed. So follow on with me as I start with verse 1. "Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came to his own city." Now, I don't know if you've read that before, his own city. What city was that? His own city. Capernaum. Capernaum. Who said that? Yes, it was Capernaum. And many of us would think it's Jerusalem or Bethlehem or something like that. But here it's referring to Capernaum. Now, verse 2, "And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, 'Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven.' And some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This fellow blasphemes.'" Called Jesus fellow. Didn't call him Lord, fellow. Blasphemes. In verse 4, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why are you thinking evil in your hearts?'" And that's exactly what they were doing. They had evil thoughts. Their hearts weren't right. "Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on heaven to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, pick up your bed, and go home." And he got up and he went home. But when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God who had given such authority to men. So when we're looking at this, that this healing, this miracle of the paralytic, it demonstrates that Jesus is a peace bringer in three different areas. As I was studying the scripture, and I've had time to do that this week at home in my office, spent quite a few hours studying and going over this particular passage of scripture. Since we was having communion today, I wanted to pick a passage of scriptures that went along with forgiveness of sins, healing, and what it means to celebrate and remember the death of Jesus Christ. All the ministers he did throughout the 3.5 years in Capernaum, his own city, which he spent much of his time doing ministry. He loved his city, and many and most of the people responded to Christ as he did his healing and doing and sharing with them about his life and him being the Savior. So there's three different things here I want us to look at. He gives a word of power over the physical order, the sea. A word over the supernatural order, the demons, and I mentioned those a while ago, that comes from chapter 8. And then a word of power over the fallen order, which is sin. He covers all of that here that we'll be looking at. And Jesus' word has power over the invisible powers of nature, over demons, and sin. Now that's what I want us to see this morning, because the wages of sin is death, but Christ, he is the gift of eternal life. So when we're looking at this passage of scripture, unforgiven sin is Satan's best friend. You think about that. And man's chief enemy. It's a problem. The world has. It's a problem that we all have, that we have to face. And this passage proves that our great physician, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the ruler over everything, the whole world, the universe. And while healing this man of his physical illness, he also holds the power to deliver every man from sin, the root of the world's evils. And we know that evil exists in our world today. So first of all, let's look for the forgiveness of sin as we see in verse 1 and 2. After being rejected by the people on the other side, and I just talked about that in chapter 8, and that's Gadara is where Jesus came. That's why he left and came over the sea. Jesus travels back across the lake to his own city, mentioned here in verse 1. Getting into the boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came to his own city. So Jesus returned to his own city, which we confirm is Capernaum. And it's also found in Mark chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 4 as well. So Capernaum was a good choice, really, when you think about Jesus' ministry. And that I see, as I've read in the Gospels, this was Jesus' base ministry here in Capernaum. When people discovered Jesus was there, they came to take advantage of his compassion. They did. They wanted to be healed. They came for the physical side, but Jesus took care of that spiritual side too, as he has always in our lives as well. And that's our greatest need in this world. So upon seeing a broken paralytic in verse 2, Jesus initially intently stressed his authority to forgive sin. And in verse 2 it says, And they brought him, a paralytic lying on a bed, and Jesus, knowing their hearts, it says, seeing their faith, they had faith that they wouldn't have brought this paralytic to Jesus. They had faith. The paralytic had faith. Jesus said to him, "Take courage, son. Take courage." You know, every day we should take courage, right? We should take courage every day of our life, because Jesus responds to us in our situations today, no matter what they are, physically, spiritual, emotional, whatever. He tells us, take courage. your sins are forgiven. Now, Jesus saw their faith and their demonstration and to overcome obstacles to get him. And the first words Jesus said, take courage, child or son. Take courage. And Jesus ministers to this paralytic, deep mental depression. Don't you know the years that he'd been depression, laying on his back, not able to do anything for himself? You know, you get discouraged, you get depressed. Jesus saw that, had compassion on him, and encouraging him to cheer up. And it's important to know the Greek word for this is thoris, is, and that means to something good is about to happen. Something good. When he said, cheer up, son, something good is going to be happening. Teres. And our low times are often the result of a negative attitude towards life. And I'm sure this paralytic had negative attitude towards his situation. But Jesus says, you know, cheer up. Your sins are forgiven. Now, just having his sins forgiven, that was his greatest need, but he healed him physically as well. Jesus would encourage us if we would come to him the same way. So the boy's body was paralyzed, but so was his soul. You think about it, his soul was paralyzed as well because of sin, because he did not know Jesus personally at that state or at that time in his life. The man's spiritual state was Jesus' first and greatest concern. And that's why he said, you know, I've got something good to tell you. Something good. I want to cheer you up. I'm going to cheer you up today. Therefore, Jesus spoke the incredible words in the presence, not the future tense. The present. He wasn't talking in the future. He was talking present. He healed him right then. Your sins are forgiven. Therese. Jesus here indicates of the new covenant that he had made with man. That those who come to Jesus can find pardon and be forgiven and have cleansings of the heart, conscience, and they will have that new life. The new life that Paul talks about is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That you be in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, new things have come. Now, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And that was good words of cheer for this man. Now, the second part of this is a side effect of forgiveness in verses 3 through 7. Jesus' testimony of forgiveness brings out the charge of blasphemy according to what Matthew is talking about. Here we see that the scribes and the Pharisees, they weren't happy with what Jesus had done. So they called him on it. In verse 3, and some of the scribes said to themselves, this fellow blasphemes. The scribes began to talk among themselves and challenge Jesus right to proclaim the forgiveness of sin. They didn't feel like he had the right to do that, but Jesus clarified it and said, I have all authority. He had all authority in Matthew chapter 28, where he talks about the Great Commission. My Father has given me all authority on heaven and earth. And that's why I commend you to go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. By claiming the right to forgive, Jesus was claiming the privilege that belongs to God alone. And in verse 4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why are you thinking evil in your heart? See, Jesus knew. He could read them. He can read us. He knows everything about anything, all power, all knowledge. And that's why there is so much power in forgiveness of sin, because Jesus is behind it, and he has been given the power to do that. So as Jesus read the mental state of the paralytic, he now looks upon his thoughts of the scribes. The thoughts, the internal, the inner thoughts of man. And he knows ours. He knows what we're thinking right now. He knows what we're thinking, we're going to think tomorrow. So we need to be careful how we think. That we think things that are positive and pure and righteous in his sight. So the heart is seen in Scripture as the seat of the thought, and the mind as possessing of thoughts. And think about that. His question, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? He looked him straight in the eye and asked them that question. Don't you know that pricked them, pierced their hearts? Like it would have when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, and when they heard of the sins in their own minds and their hearts, and it pierced their hearts what they heard, because they knew they were sinners and they had sinned against God. This is what Jesus states in evaluation of their motives. Now, they were judging Jesus based on evil motives, not based on the facts. Therefore, they revealed the evil motives behind their actions. And it always comes out. Jesus always knows. So the parallels is impossible of healing the paralytic in verse 5 to another impossible with man, the forgiveness of sin. But Jesus has the power to do it all. When he said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or say get up and walk? The question, which is easier to say, was to draw comparison between the difficulty of saying without proving and saying what is immediately proved or disapproved. Jesus' authority. Think about this now. Jesus' authority to forgive was being inwardly challenged by his critics. They were wrong. And Jesus gave a second command when it is currently more difficult. Rise and walk. That simple, that quick. Jesus said that. Man, you're healed. Get up, son. Go home. You're free. Not only from your physical situation, but your sins are forgiven. And don't you know this man had something to rejoice about? How would you feel? How would I feel after all those years? Now he's free inside and out, spiritually and physically. He did not make them wait long for God's vindication. In response, Jesus healed the man in verse 6 to demonstrate his authority to forgive man's sins. And that's what this was about. The Lord knew that he was going to do both for this man. But his most and this man's greatest need was forgiveness of sin. And then, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Verse 6. Jesus, the Son of Man, as God manifest in the flesh, has power on earth, which has God has given him. In verse 7. Several states that the results of Jesus' words to the paralytic, and he got up and went home. He got up and went home. Now, can you imagine what his family and those who knew him when they saw him walking home? Can you see the look on their faces, the amazement when they saw this man, this young man coming home? And don't you know he had a smile on his face? He was happy. He's probably rejoicing to the heights. What a wonderful, wonderful example of what God does, the power that he has to save. He who by word could heal the severest sickness could also be granted by God's power to forgive sin. And then the greater miracle, right here, records a typical impact, Jesus' working miracle. The people saw it and they glorified the Father. When great things happen, we all have a tendency to be to glorify God. But we need to do that every day regardless, right? Because he's always doing something great in our lives. He's always magnifying his presence in some way, showing us his power. They glorified God because he had physically and really demonstrated his love and compassion to this young man. They praised him for so revealing his nature and character to them in this healing act. He revealed that to them. And the crowd hadn't seen anything like this. Many of them had not witnessed this type of healing, and especially this forgiving this young man of his sin. And they were awed and respectful over extraordinary power and authority that Jesus demonstrated right before their eyes. They saw it themselves. They witnessed it. And they was awestruck. And in closing here, we want to see how Jesus performed miracles to prove his love and his divine power. See, if anyone is present here today, you know, if you're discouraged, I want to mention that word, that thesis, which means to cheer, be of good cheer, lay hold by faith of the spiritual health and well-being of Christ. He has given it to you, or he probably, many of us, has already given it to us, but he wants to give us more as well. And we need to seek him by faith of our spiritual health, our well-being, because he wants to bless our lives. And how we do that? We do it with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And then we'll hear him say, "Rise up and walk in the way and the will of the Lord, for your sins has been forgiven." He'll say that to us. He says that to us. And then we can enjoy the good cheer of the forgiveness of sins and the healing he provides us physically each day. He has all power, all knowledge, because he's our Savior. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you this morning for this message, for this passage of scriptures. Your gospel is full of salvation experiences, the healing of the soul, the healing of the body, the mind, and spirit. And you tell us to seek us with all our heart, soul, and mind. And when we seek you, we will find you. And that's what brings comfort and peace to our hearts and minds, knowing that you always show compassion when we come to you. When our hearts are right, when we're seeking the right things. Lord, we cannot complicate you or what you do. We only have to yield and surrender to you. And lay our lives right before you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you have such a compassion and you provide grace and mercy and always in time of need. We don't always see, Lord, things in your perspective, and we never will, but you want us to. And may we be yield ourselves to you wholeheartedly each day, Lord, as we seek your wisdom, your guidance, and your discernment in our lives. Bring out the best that you're looking for as Christians, as believers in you. We be like your followers, your disciples, your witnesses to those who need you most. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.